We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep Podcast Network Draft Night Post-Draft Podcast. It was a barn burner for the Milwaukee Bucks, who walked away with two guys none of us had any idea about whatsoever. I am joined by Jordan Tresky of the Win in Six Podcast, Rohan Kadi of the Eurostep Podcast. I'm Ty Windisch of the Eurostep Podcast. Adam McGee wanted to be here. Expected to be here. Research draft prospects who made sense at 31 all day, and the Bucks fairly immediately in the draft, it wasn't just before the pick, trade down for two late second round picks, two future second rounders with the Indiana Pacers. We'll get into the trade in a moment, but Adam bowed out, said, "No way, I'm not staying up. I don't even know who these players are anymore. It's very, very early in the morning in Ireland." Actually, probably not that early. So it's just the three of us on this one. And the draft took forever, and that was also a thing. So
5 hours almost. Five hours.
Rohan, Jordan, how's it going 5 hours later?
Terrible. I just sit through 5 hours of that.
No, dun, but dun, it, dun, dun. Sandman, baby.
The Bucks traded pick number 31, the fabled pick, the generation of the new young core, for number 54, number 60, a 2024 second, the more favorable of Indy's second round pick, or the less favorable of Cleveland/Utah second round pick, and in 2026, the more favorable of Indy and Miami's second round pick. So it's four total picks, including the two this draft that the Bucks did use. This is all coming from Eric Name, who had the specific protections and picks. It's all a little bit complicated, but suffice it to say, they're looking at two probably mid second rounders plus the two very bad second rounders they had in this draft for 31 overall. And with the 54th pick, the Bucks selected Sandro Mamukashvili. And with the 60th pick, the Bucks selected Yorgos Kalitzakis. Rohan, you gave me a look. Did I get it wrong after all the practice attempts?
A little bit. On the first one, it's Mamukashvili.
Mamukashvili.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Rohan. I've been working on it. I know Jordan is rolling with Sandman or Sandy or a lot of other good options for nicknames. You know what's funny is Sandro, not even his first name, Alexander Sandro.
Yeah.
But, you know, it works. It's a fun name.
He's a versatile player.
It's short for Alexandro, which is European for Alexander. In certain European things.
Interesting. Wikipedia is leading me astray on that one. It just gives me a straight up Alexander. But interesting player. Should we talk about the actual picks first or the trade first?
Let's talk about the trade first, because that's what actually happened. So They have a prime spot in number 31, the first pick of the second round, in which they acquired that pick from the PJ Tucker trade with the Houston Rockets. And like you mentioned, Ty, we thought it was going to be like, oh, there's going to be interesting prospects available at 31. And so maybe there's a good piece to add to the young core of Jordan Wara and Jordan Wara. So, you know, Jordan Wara as a young core. I don't know if I can emphasize that enough. But
if only we could. It hasn't happened yet. If only Bobby was likely to stay. That would be a young core member too.
Isn't he like 26?
Yeah. Only marginally older than Sam Merrill.
Did I say Sam Merrill?
No. Go on.
But obviously, like we mentioned, they traded out of that pick. And I didn't necessarily agree with the trade as it happened at the time, because like I was saying, 31 is usually a prime spot. And especially in this draft where there were prospects falling, people were getting taken earlier than expected. There was still a lot of good prospects available at number 31. Isaiah Todd ended up being the pick at 31 for the Indiana Pacers. But you have guys like Sharif Cooper going later in the draft. And it's just like, maybe the Bucks can pick up a really, really interesting prospect that can be really good going forward. So that's why I wasn't a fan of it. But they do get some draft ammo, which could be used in future trades, whatever. But I'm not too upset about it, because at the end of the day, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions as of like a week and a half ago. So I can't get too upset at things.
Yeah, that's honestly where I'm at as well. I'm still on cloud nine. And like, I understand there's going to be some. It's the draft. Everybody is so hopeful. Everybody works their way into this guy would be awesome with the Bucks, all that stuff. Normally, I try to be in tune with, you know, the draft and all that stuff. This year, obviously, was not at all. So I didn't have any expectations. But when you set expectations for a draft night, a Bucks draft night specifically, that's where it will get let you down. The next time that Bucks fans don't have expectations for the draft will be the first. So even though they had, you know, the 31st pick, and yeah, it is like a prime slot for like, oh, this guy's falling, like whether it was like Sharif Cooper. I mean, I will say, I will agree that like a lot of those guys, like Miles McBride,
McBride, Herb Jones,
Dusan Moe,
DJ Boston.
Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Jason Preston, my guy Rokas, who's probably not coming over, but
any person that was like falling or anything like that, yeah, like you want to like swipe in and you know, pounce on it and take them and stuff like that. But I don't mind like them trying to get a little bit more bites at the apple in terms of like building for a trade, because you know, their draft picks are already limited as is. The NBA took one of them away because of the Bogdan deal going kaput. So it was like, how many more second rounders do they have after this year? Because it wasn't a lot. And I do think those picks could be attractive enough to get someone, whether it's using a trade exception or something down the line next season, all that stuff. Just something more to kind of reload the very thin draft asset collection that they have right now. So that from that perspective, I didn't mind at all just getting a little bit more chips in their corner.
So according to Real GM, the future picks detailed, they still had the 2025 coming from Indy. Next year's second is the one the league snatched for no good reason for a deal that didn't happen anyway. The
59 player draft, it's going to be next year.
This makes me sick. The Bucks have their 2023 and 2024. They don't have their 2025 or 2026, and they do have their 2027. So now they'll have three future seconds incoming, all from Indiana, which is kind of weird. Trading partners, I guess, something to think about going forward.
That's true.
And the Bucks will have their own in 23, 24, and 27. So now they have quite a few. Now they do have enough to, I mean, you look at, I know it didn't work out well, but the Mirotić deal and such like that. I do think I was more upset about it at first. I don't think it was great process. They just did it so early. I mean, I don't know what.
Well, it's like how I was going to, I think the perfect comparison is when they did the Tony Snell deal 2 years ago, because everybody knew they needed to open up cap space to bring back Brooke because they didn't have his bird rights, all that stuff. When they, it's not that they telegraph their like intentions, it's that they make their move very early about this.
Yeah.
And granted, I think, I don't remember them getting a lot of picks or any. That was just the cap space saving move last time. At least this time around, they got some, you know, picks this in this draft and, you know, down the line, but obviously be used in the trade, probably, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, and I finally have a tweet I'm going to reference in front of me to not be an irresponsible podcaster. WIGuy94, and he shared this tweet with me. I was like, that's a good tweet. Utah got 40 and two future seconds for 30. Knicks got 34 and 36 for 32, which that one is interesting. OKC is the team that traded the two mid-30s picks for 32. They just had too many picks. And this has been said, like, it's going to hurt them that they have too many picks. And OKC people and other parts of hashtag asset Twitter, are you kidding me? It would never hurt them. It hurt them. Everyone knows they have too many picks. They had to, that's an L. I think I think someone from Celtics Twitter, Ryan Bernadelli, those two picks should have been worth like roughly the 25th pick. Okay, so you had to take 32 for them. So, but again, like the Bucks obviously had 31 right between those two. I don't think they would have wanted 36 and 34. I don't think they're going to roster. They might not roster on the 15 man either of the players they picked, quite honestly, but 40 and two future seconds would have been really good. I know that went for the pick that was one better than them, but 31 is arguably actually better than 30 because of the salary slot differences. So 40 and two future seconds would have been really good because you get a much better, I shouldn't say much better, a marginally better second round player plus the same amount of future seconds. But I'm not as mad anymore. You know, I like a lot of these names, especially McBride and Herb Jones, but we don't know. It's not that I think they got a guy in the 50s who is going to be good. It's more just like most of the guys in the 30s probably aren't going to be that good, at least not in the next couple of years. So I still don't like it, but it's not going to keep me up at night or anything like that. The weird thing, I was completely resigned to Alex Antetokounmpo being the 60th pick. By the time we got to like 52, I was like, you know what? If they take him 54, I won't even be that mad. I don't know any of these prospects. I didn't dig in this deep. Adam, sorry. Foolish move. Foolish move. Thinking the Bucks were going to make the pick as planned when they could not do that, which they always do.
This guy was – he was stressed about guarding the prospects at 31.
I was like, I don't know, man. Even if they use it, we might – I mean, they took Thon Maker at 10. There's no – this is not a team you should ever try to predict.
When have the Bucks ever taken anyone where anyone else thought they would?
I mean, the Thon thing people knew about that day. I remember when the mock draft updated. Yeah. It was like this sense of dread. But weeks, like when the order is set going in, I don't think anyone has ever.
The last person was Jabari.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
Otherwise, DJ was completely out of the Vaughn over Bobby Portis.
It was like days before the draft when it was became clear that Jabari wasn't going to go one because that was an option, and Jabari kind of bullied his way into two. I digress. I don't love the trade, but no, I really thought it was going to be Alex Antetokounmpo at 60, and I thought Indy had scammed the Bucks by working him out because I didn't see him work out anywhere else, and I noted like they were the team that had the two effort second round picks. Like when the trade happened, I was like, did they work out Alex as a threat to the Bucks and then make this trade? No, the Bucks don't even take him. They take a different Greek player who's older and not all that inspiring.
Under contract.
Is he still?
Yeah, he's still playing over in Europe. So I'm guessing there's probably a buyout.
They would have to buy out his
contract. I was mixing that with Alex.
I don't know if there's going to be a buyout anytime soon. Do you have any more thoughts on the trade, or should we go over quickly a little bit about draft rights? Because there might be some listeners who think every time you draft someone, like they just come over, and that's not exactly how it works.
Yeah, we could do that.
So it's kind of weird, especially with players playing professionally elsewhere. Like, they don't have to ever come over if they don't want to. Is I think Nando DeColo right now is probably the most famous example. He's 27, and the Raptors extend a qualifying offer every single year, because if they don't, I think they could lose his rights. It doesn't cost them anything.
Well, who's the guy OKC now, too?
Oh, Misic. Yeah, Misic. Yeah, he seems pretty good as well. He might be coming over now. I'm not.
I think he flexed that he was and then got a bigger deal from whoever team he's playing now.
And even a more prominent example, like Dario Saric. Like
took a couple years for Dario.
Yep.
But the other thing is, those guys all, I believe, picked first round or at least early second round. There's a lot of guys picked at this point in the draft playing professionally overseas that never come over. And maybe the teams think they will one day. Maybe it's a favor to former teammate of Thanasis Antetokounmpo, same agent as Giannis and Thanasis Antetokounmpo,
and
I believe.
Steph Curry.
And Steph, yeah, an agent favor to Steph Curry's agent. You know, the Warriors used both of their picks, the first one on a project. That's Steph Curry. You might be onto something, Rohan. But, you know, we don't know. We haven't had any reporting yet. But given, you know, the Bucks are in contention, unless they make another trade or cut some guys, they already have a lot of unproven players on the roster. Honestly, I think they could do better at two-way contract than Yorgos. So no expectation that he comes over. I think we see Sandro, whether as a we can get into it as a two-way or a roster spot. But my early guess is we do not see both of the Bucks draft picks in Milwaukee or even Wisconsin this coming year.
In Wisconsin is a stretch.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I can see Sandro with the Herd.
Oh, did I say either? I meant both. Sorry. I meant both.
Oh, yeah.
My bad. I said either. I meant both. Gotcha. I don't think we see both. I think we see Sandro. Probably more so with the Herd. Maybe entirely with the Herd.
It's tough because like we mentioned, these aren't prospects that were on everyone's radar, realistically. Who said Sandro was the most bizarre player in the draft?
Sam Vecenie,
yeah.
Who also dropped the nugget that he did a super comprehensive top 100 prospects. Yorgos was 101, apparently. So honestly, I take a little bit of solace in that. At least he was almost on people's radars, but also
40 away.
There's a lot of, well, I mean, almost on the top 100 radar, but only 41 away from being worthy of a draft pick. A lot of ties to some prominent players on the team. I'm not going to get deep into his game, although according to his Wikipedia, he's basically Luka Doncic. So we have that to look forward to. He's only been declaring for the draft for like 4 years. Let's talk about Sandro. I feel like everything else is just sad. I don't know. I feel like, Rohan, you hated this pick at first. I think you came around a little bit. What are your thoughts as a Marquette grad on Seton Hall's own Sandro? Mamukashel. It's, you know what it is? I realize what it is that's tripping me up. It's that the K sound is basically in two different – the K is basically in two different – syllables on the name. That's what's getting me. I'm going to put it more
reps. Mamu Kalashvili.
Mamu Kalashvili.
Yeah. So going into the draft, I was sort of siding with Adam McGee in that you should probably draft a guard if you're the Bucks. So Sandro's not a guard. He's not a guard. He's a six.
Well,
he's everything he's you want guard. Him to be.
No, he's not. He might be the opposite of what the Bucks need in terms of roster makeup right now.
I thought you were going to say he's the opposite of everything you want him to be. Just nothing what you want him to be, but go on.
Nothing and everything at the same time. He's Sandy. No.
See, the thing is, he's an interesting prospect for sure. He definitely has skills that could translate for teams, just not with the Bucks. So what I mean by that, like he's almost 6'11", just sort of big. He's got good passing skills. He's got a decent handle. He can shoot the ball. It's not at the highest clip, but it just depends on how well he's really how many is attempting per game? Because I think the lower attempts per game he got in college, the higher his percentage was. So as soon as, you know, you sort of limit it and so he's not forcing it, then it sort of gets the percentages, you know, higher. So he's a decent shooter. He can make some good passes. But from what I've seen in terms of his film, and again, this is limited. I'm not a draft expert. I don't claim to be. It's not anything that would flow within this current Milwaukee Bucks team. A lot of his great passes come from working in the middle. And that sort of comes in an NBA offense when you run your offense through your big man hub, like a Sabonis, like a Jokic, those sort of things. That's never going to happen on the Milwaukee Bucks. It's just not. Let's say he cracks the rotation by some miracle. Let's just say that. Let's imagine that happening. That he's actually playing
minutes. Actually terrifying.
Yes, but let's just assume that happens. Why on earth would he be the one running the offense? Why would that be a thing that happens? It's just, it's not possible. He's not going to develop his skills really with the Bucks, which is why I think he'd be great with the Herd. There you can develop his skills. And then once he gets his feel for things, then you can maybe bring him to the big squad, right? That's what the Herd is for. It's just, I don't know. It's a weird pick. It's a really weird pick. Like, he's a fun prospect, but like, what is he doing for this team?
He's not playing. I mean,
what's the point?
But that's,
welcome to drafting at 54.
I was going to say, that's the thing. It's not I don't think it's that big of a deal when, like, Jordan Mora, for example, like, I would say he's kind of like on the same par as in terms of their resume. Of when, you know, he looked really good in college, the year before he actually came out, he was thought of as like a first round pick. I'm not saying Sandy was, you know, first round pick material or Gray, whatever that is. But there's at least like, there's something to the fact that like, even you could be like a very talented or promising rookie or whatever. The bar for entry into the Bucks is going to be really high. Like, Mora played how many minutes? It's like 274 minutes last year. Not a lot. And granted, that's, you know, the COVID year where we kind of all brace for the fact that there's going to be nights where some guys are going to get more minutes because of absences or they take it easy. The schedule is so cramped up, all that stuff. I don't know. Like, I think the fact that the Bucks have generally punted on the draft under Horst. Yes, it's frustrating, but they've also made up for the fact that like their scouting and ability to sign guys like a Bobby Portis or PJ Tucker, Rolo. Well, he was decent, but like the kind of players that were already established in the league and all that stuff, they found a way to find those guys at free agency and develop them and kind of, you know, make them fit within their roster and overall kind of vision for how they want to play. And that's obviously been lacking with their draft picks as of late, save for, you know, Dante, but you know, we have our conversation with Dante as a whole, but it's just, I don't know. I just think it's, I don't know why people have high expectations for what it is when it's like I said, it's a second round pick and it's a 54th overall pick at that. I love you, Sandy.
The thing is, they've done well with second.
Yeah, I was going to say that the frustrating thing is
Sterling Brown. Dante. like Jordan Wara, like potentially Sam Merrill, maybe. We'll see.
I don't think we can say Wara would. I mean, as great as he, I mean, he's looking out really good with Nigeria right now. But I don't think we won't know until he's actually in the rotation, if that makes sense.
Yes. I will say I'm saying Wara because the times we've seen him in the rotation, at least we've seen positive things. That's why I'm including.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm disappointed because I almost, and it's too early, but I felt like draft night, I felt better about Merrill than I felt about either of these guys. Like, I just find it so hard. And I mean, 60th picks at Merrill, honestly, even if this is like Merrill is topped out as a very end of bench guy, he still already accomplished more than a lot of 60th overall picks ever do. A lot of them never play a single game. So
NBA champion, Sam Merrill.
NBA champion, Sam Merrill. It's factually accurate. I actually do think the vision with Sandro is a 4-5 pairing with Giannis, where maybe Giannis is like, they're almost like both point centers. I don't know. Like, they're like running pick and rolls with each other. I really think the thing with him is going to be shooting. Like, I think that's going to be the differentiator. He had a very good junior year, a not good senior year.
To Rowan's point, too, the junior year spike that was on 2.6 3-point attempts per game. Senior year is 4.6. So the volume rose higher.
Yeah.
Percentages plateaued.
I am worried that he's not a great free throw shooter. I think 60% overall in college, which usually is a strong indicator of future 3-point shooting for prospects. But if he can shoot the three ball, I do think he's interesting. I do think it kind of shows you, and not that much. Again, it's not a premier asset, but I think it does show you the Bucks are thinking about more ways to utilize small ball groups with Giannis at five. So I do think the idea of a defensively challenged, but, you know, a capable shooter, good playmaker who can do something with the ball if he catches it against a mismatch or something, like the idea of that with Giannis at the five, I think does make some sense. I'm not sure Sandman is ever going to be that. I think it's you know, you kind of have to take swings that probably won't pan out when you're drafting in this spot. I don't hate the vision. And honestly, after they traded out of 31, traded down from 31, like, it really doesn't matter what position you pick in the 50s. Like, you should just pick whoever you like the most or whoever Giannis likes the most, because you're not going to get anything helpful out of that guy the coming season. Like, you're just not. I mean, I was looking back briefly at 54 in the last 10 years. It's Shake Milton and a bunch of guys that nobody's interested in. So obviously, you know, you get very lucky if you get the Shake Milton, but most of the time it's just a guy who doesn't matter. So I'm not mad that they didn't pick a point guard with these two picks, because as Jordan, you mentioned, something has either gone very incredibly right or horrifically wrong if either of these guys are playing literally any minutes in the coming season. So I don't hate the idea of Sandro. I think there is, like, there's something cool to it. It probably, actually, I don't even want to say it signals anything about the current roster, because again, I don't think the Bucks expect these players to factor in at all. But maybe it does say something about Bobby, because you assume if they retain Bobby, he's going to be around for a few years, but it probably doesn't mean anything. And we think Bobby was going to leave anyway.
I have a question for you, Ty. What's his path to being that 4-5 pairing?
Shooting. He needs to.
No, literally, how does that come about?
He gets better until he's playable.
Where?
It's the 4-5 with Giannis. They would take different responsibilities on either side.
No, like, where is he getting the minutes to get better and then playing with the Bucks?
Oh, probably the Hurt.
Okay. We'll see.
He's not going to play with the Bucks. Yeah, he's for sure not going to play with the, I mean, it's like, he's going to sit on the bench and play with the Hurt a lot, probably. Hopefully they exist this year.
I'm not banking on this happening. I think that they probably, you know, sign him to a minimum, you know, deal. But there is always the possibility that it could be a two-way. That we see a lot of teams do that too, where they draft someone, then, you know, give them a two-way contract. Don't think that's going to happen, just making that clear. But that's always a possibility that they could do that to kind of, you know, make it known that it's their development. Not that he already is it, but that development project kind of feel.
I mean, they could even not even give him a two-way, right? I think if they bring him to camp and then release him, he goes to the G League. I don't know how that interacts with rookie rights, but I think that's how that works.
I think there's some relationship between if you bring him to camp and then you have his G League rights.
Well, that's not for any free agent. If you bring him, you give him a training camp contract, you cut him, they sign with the G League team, or they sign with the G League. No one signs with teams, you sign with the league. But they can get a $50,000 bonus, basically, for...
Yeah, like Exhibit 10, right?
Exhibit 10... Exhibit 10
you can't be drafted. Way. Yeah.
But, oh, yeah. That is Exhibit 10. Yeah. I think they could do that. So they could give him an Exhibit 10. I think there's no issue with that. I'll have to dig into that deeper. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it has in here, if a second-round pick signs his required tender and is later waived, that team is the only team that can convert the player to a two-way. So, clearly, it's possible. So, could even be that situation. I mean, we'll see. I think a two-way is certainly in play. There's not that many roster spots to go around on the Bucks right at the moment. And, again, I think we kind of factored in 31 as being at least a roster spot, if not a rotation spot. I mean, now I think we're going to see more free agents than ever. And I think really one of the other things that this move does, I think the trade, I mean, not with who they actually picked. I feel like the Bucks feel pretty confident they're going to land some sort of a point guard in free agency. The question is that just Teague or is that someone else? Hopefully someone else, not Mr. Group Project Jeff Teague, but I guess you never know.
I think it's Yorgos Kalatsakis.
Yeah. Someone in my mentions said he is a Walmart LaMelo Ball, which seems so offensive to LaMelo Ball.
And hey, that's Walmart. Great value right there. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. Look at that. That's 10 out of – that's really good, Jordan.
No, that's iconic. That's incredible.
That is iconic. I think even that is a stretch. I'm reading through all the two ways being signed, the Bucks and training camp deals. Absolutely none so far. We have not gotten confirmation of Alex Antetokounmpo going to the Kings. We'll see.
I won't believe it even if it comes out, I can't believe it until he's in a Kings uniform if it happens.
Mac McClung going to the Lakers is on a training camp deal. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for both sides. Should we talk about the Bucks 60th overall pick, or do we have any more thoughts on Sandro?
Okay, maybe I was too mean.
I don't
know. He has a chance.
His foot speed is honestly even more concerning to me than the shooting. I don't know if he's fast enough.
He's not a great defender either.
Well, he's not fast enough. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, but he's an Adam McGee fever dream. I mean, the fact that his idol is Zaza.
He was mentored by Zaza. Zaza introduced him to Steph Curry.
I mean,
it's a beautiful story.
What more to say about that?
He shoots like Steph, but he's big like Zaza. Is that honestly, the scouting report?
I don't know. I think you just described his game. There it is right there.
Mark, 2 years, we're going to see Sandro just like pull it up from half court.
We got Zaza Curry, Steph Pachulia, around in the rear.
Karl Anthony Towns has got nothing on this guy. I don't know, man.
The Bucks are champs.
Yeah, I don't think you were too hard on him. I mean, I think there's a lot of issues. We'll see. We'll see what he looks like in camp. I think Merrill's held up better than we expected based on the athleticism concerns coming in. So, I mean, not well enough for us. I think he's really going to play a rotational role next year, but he functions.
And the Bucks training staff has proven to be able to manage players and like get them better in terms of athleticism.
Suki's got us.
Yeah. Suki's the best.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Jordan, what are your thoughts on Yorgos Kalidzakis?
Did you say this on the pod? I can't remember if you said it off or on, but Jim Ozarski, I just saw, he is signed through the summer of 2022 with Panathinaikos. That's how you pronounce it. I think that sums up my feelings. I mean, like you said, I think it's a stash guy. Maybe we see him next year. That's a big old shoulder shrug right there for me. But it's going to be a guy that will, I mean, we are, considering how we are, we'll all just, you know, go crazy about second round picks being traded for 31 to 54. We're going to be following him in Greece and see what he does and see how he plays this, you know, next season. So we'll see how that goes.
I think he might get bought out.
No way.
I think he might.
He's not two-way player caliber.
So let's see how many roster spots do we have right now? I know Portis hasn't made his player option decision, but we all know it's gonna be.
Hopefully he forgets and he's just around again.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to think who are free agents right now.
Yeah.
Rin, PJ, Bobby, Thanasis.
I got Spo. Is it Spot Track?
Spot Track? Spot Track.
I've
always wanted to know the answer to this question.
I always thought Spot Track. I'll give a shout to the competition here. The Frank Madden's cap sheet he has in his Twitter bio is really good for the Bucks. It's Bucks only, but they have five spots.
Five spots.
Yeah.
Is that including 2A?
No. There's seven.
Because Bobby, when he makes a decision, that's 10.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So here, right now, Giannis, Chris, Drew, Brooke, Pat, Dante, all guaranteed money. And then Wara, Merrill, Diakite, Bryant are all non-guaranteed.
Obviously, probably.
We'll see. I mean, it depends how many free agents they find. They are cheap.
That's the thing. Sandy includes Sandy.
So that'd be 11. So then you'd have four spots left. You're going to need another big guy to replace Portis.
Assume one of PJ or Portis.
Yeah, PJ's going to come. I'm going to say PJ. He's coming back.
So if you count PJ and Sandy, so which we're not sure he's going to be a roster spot, but if you count him, that's three spots open. They need a point.
It's a point guard. Forbes, I don't know why I used my other hand. This is a visual joke. Point guard, Forbes replacement, Bobby replacement. That's for the 15-man roster. Then your two ways.
Yeah.
So I don't. That's where I don't see him coming over this year.
No,
unless if it is for that two way. But
Rohan's the one who thinks he's getting bought out. I don't think he comes over this year.
See, the reason I think he's getting bought out is the same reason he got drafted.
It's hard to argue that logic, though.
I just think it's a favor. It's like it looks good,
but like
it's a cool moment. It's so weird.
It's funny too. Technically, the Bucks, they rounded the last two drafts out with the last pick.
Yeah,
with Sam and Yorgi. I'm just going to call him Yorgi.
According to Wikipedia, his nickname is George.
George.
Because that's
just not great.
Yorgos is Greek for George.
Yeah, for George.
Well, they put it in quotes like it's a nickname. Maybe it's a nickname, Rohan.
That's a weird quote, Wikipedia.
You never know. The pterodactyl, players have interesting nicknames sometimes.
That is true.
Solid nickname. What is he, Curious?
I'm curious why they drafted him.
I'm not.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm not.
But seriously, like, if they're doing this to draft him, well, they're gonna bring him over.
I don't think so. I mean, I think there's a big golf in favor using literally the worst possible pick in the NBA draft. What does they do though? Looks good. I don't know.
Also, this is like an actual draft pick that the Bucks could have used otherwise.
That they. I mean, I don't think they would. I don't think.
I mean, they would have just. They would have. They would have full Pat McAfee punted that across the field, but like, just it's still an asset.
Is it? Is it really?
I don't know. I don't
technically
think so.
With zero value.
Sure, but it's an asset.
It's so much of an asset that the NBA is going to strip it away from them next year.
It's literally not an asset next year.
That's where we're at right now.
I don't think it matters at all.
No. Maybe he comes over for the herd.
He might. I would be a little surprised if he left a nice roster spot. He's a four-time champion.
I was going to say.
They're a powerhouse.
He's got a twin as well named Panos.
He does have a twin. But we can get more brothers on the team. We can get more brothers on the team.
Also, whoever made George's Wikipedia page must have made the same for his brother because they have the same quote unquote Thanos.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh man. My favorite line is he has been regarded as one of the top NBA draft prospects in Europe, comma, in his age range.
Yeah, so he's also tried to declare for the draft ever since, what was it, 2018?
Yeah.
And just withdrawn every time.
Well, we only know of three times. He might have not done it 1 year.
Because he's going to turn 23 in January.
Yep, him and Panos.
Yep, twins.
And Panos twins. Panos is only 6 foot. 6'6", excuse me.
Really?
6'6", yes.
I thought it was 6 foot. I was like, whoa.
6 foot would be really interesting. He's only 6'6".
I mean, okay, like theoretically, this guy's a 6'8 combo guard who can't shoot, but he's theoretically a decent slasher. Like, we have to take this semi-seriously, even though the Bucks
are
taking... Okay, maybe not.
Well, let's pull up some stats.
I think he averaged 3.9 points per game.
Nearly 4 points per game. Nearly 4 points per game.
What else?
This is rough.
What are the other stats?
1.7 rebounds.
Nice.
1.18 assists to 1.18 turnovers. Always good when those numbers are the same. 12.5 minutes per game in the Greek League, 5 minutes per game in EuroLeague. Clearly considered one of the top draft prospects in his age range in all of Europe, the way he couldn't play in the Greek League. Let's see who's on this team taking all the minutes. All right, how do I pull up the
team?
For
the EuroLeague competition?
No, just the Greek League. The Greek League.
Okay. Oh, Zach August is on that team.
Mario Hezonja, former Buck.
No, he's not.
Oh, that's the one.
That was
not.
Your dream.
Yeah, my bad. Shelvin Mack.
There's always time, Ty. There's always time.
There is. They have Nikos Pappas and Nikos Persidius. It's pretty stacked. Bentel. Oh, Zach August.
Yeah, Zach August. I just said that.
Oh, August, yeah.
He's Pat Connaughton's guy.
Last year, they had Jimmer and Sean Kilpatrick. This Bucks tie is everywhere.
There
this
is.
Team.
I mean, one of them's not real.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Say that about Jimmer.
Yeah, former Bucks draft pick, right?
Yeah. Technically.
Yeah, the Dirk style.
Like all these,
This is extremely sad.
Oh, I missed Pierre Jackson. Sorry, didn't mean to
underrate. Big Papa Giannis is on it, too.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Kiefer Sykes, UW Green Bay. I see you.
Oh
God!
There we go.
Oh, here's a fun stat. The scoring leader on this team was also a 54th overall. Oh, wait, no, he wasn't. Wait, maybe. No, he wasn't. It's a different Nemanja. Actually, he might. No, he was pick 30. Sorry. Never mind. Got my Nemanjas mixed up. So, yeah, our guy was. Where is he? Oh.
Exactly.
Oh. Oh, wait, this might be EuroLeague because he's like really far down in points here.
Yes. So basically when clubs play in Europe, they have like different, they can play in their normal leagues and then they can play in the EuroLeague. So oh, that's why we're sorting
it.
Through.
I'm looking
this
at
is why we're
it.
Sorting
this
through Greek League versus EuroLeague.
Yeah, so I don't think we're going to see him, Rohan.
What a draft pick. Can
he
we
did,
talk for a
he
second?
Did
Why didn't they
nearly,
just take Alex?
I wish they would have. I think it would have
Alex Antetokounmpo, just to clarify.
I think legitimately it would have been a better pick.
Oh, 100%.
Like,
even
I think
for Thanasis, it would have been a better pick. Like, he's literally his brother.
Yeah, that way. And I think there's a chance Alex ends up as a decent player. Like, I'm not super high on him. He's young. He's an Antetokounmpo. I think all three of them. I mean, I was a little surprised Kostas left. I thought he had some nice flashes with the Lakers and wish maybe he's going to come back eventually like Thanasis did. But I'm less optimistic about our guy George.
Like you could have made it so that all four Antetokounmpos get drafted. You could have made that happen, Milwaukee. But you didn't.
He would have either been solely third or tied for third in highest draft slot among Antetokounmpos. I had a tweet in drafts that would have banged, and they ruined it.
That's a good question. Can you, if you go undrafted, can you declare for the draft again?
I don't think so. When
I don't think so guy. Either.
You're
right?
you're just a free agent now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over. The magic is over.
It's not like baseball. I think baseball, that's technically something that could happen. But
yeah, well, you can just say no.
Also, baseball has like 80,000
makes
rounds.
Sense.
Yeah.
And if you're a prospect, you lose no matter what. Did you know technically all of us are free agents? If you never declare for the draft after your last eligible year, you just become a free agent.
I still got all my college eligibility too.
Same here. Same here. Marquette, hit us up. Seton Hall.
Shaka.
Seton Hall just lost a big time playmaker.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know
why,
if I have...
Why don't we just play for let's try to get some herd tryouts.
They do have open tryout every
yeah,
year.
Yeah, that's what
you
I'm saying.
Cough up like $50, you can embarrass yourself next to some really
it?
Good players.
It's not much.
It's
not
that
much, though.
It's a little more than that. Maybe
that would
it's
be
100.
Incredible content.
I'd have to work on my game a lot.
Yeah.
No, that would make that's the reason the content would be incredible.
People have said I look like a mix of Sandy and George out there. Has anyone seen Yorgos tape? Does
no.
this even exist?
No.
Maybe
actually, no, I take that back. I saw a minute. I didn't mean for that to be a punchline. But there's a Twitter account, SIS Hoops. There's a lot of like smart draft people that work there. And I was like, oh, here we go. Let's see a minute of Georgie.
Hold on. I'm going to watch this on the pod.
Minute 11. A wing who brings extra effort, offensive transition plays, point of attack, defense, and motor and effort.
So are they repped by Octagon or?
No, I think this is independent of that.
Yeah, oh, it's just a joke there. Oh, it's a cool little video effect on the intro. Oh, here we go. Oh, the show's on defense. Oh, 97th percentile point of attack defense, according to something. Okay. He got blown by, but then he blocked it. Okay, I don't know. I'm still out. I'm still out.
I don't
out.
Know. Next Giannis? Question mark?
No, I thought that was Sandman.
No, he's the next Arvydas Sabonis.
6'11", 240. I remember those measurements. Oh, no, Giannis wasn't 240. He was 220.
He was also 6'8 when he came into the league. Or 6'9.
That's a good point. Yeah, I got nothing. NBA
so yeah, this
news.
This is how we feel about the draft. Just to sum up my thoughts.
Yeah. Let's sum up our thoughts on the Bucks draft.
What the hell? Not even that. That's even too strong. My thoughts. why?
It's honestly like, I still get the trade. It is what it is. The guys they picked are just objectively hilarious. My overall takeaway is I hope free agency is a lot better. I think it will be. But this is just like,
this is what happens when you're the champs. You worry about free agency, not the draft.
I was going to say, that's my takeaway. The Bucks are reigning NBA champions right now.
That's a good takeaway.
I love Sandman with all my heart and 2 minutes of knowledge of how he has played.
And 1 minute of Yorgos.
Exactly. 1 minute and maybe over under. Does he play a minute with the Bucks ever?
I think the over under is 0.1 seconds.
Still under. It's sure. Still under.
Yeah, under.
You know what? I mean, this might just be like, now they have draft rights they can trade around if they don't want to include cash in a deal. Something to think about.
They used to have, like, I can't remember. I think it was Albert Morales.
Yeah, they might still have
a long. No, they traded.
He was in the Delly deal, right?
Oh, it was in the Delly deal.
Because every team has to touch every other team in multiple. Where did we find this again? I don't remember. I was trying to look it up earlier.
Well, it usually is like Basketball Reference. They'll have like the draft rights.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because they got it for Keon Dooley in like 2006 and then had his draft rights for 10 years.
Just in case. The NBA is weird, by the way. In case anyone was wondering, just very odd league.
I mean, it's kind of similar to baseball. Like, you still see the Orioles like giving contracts.
They did
like,
have one. Ilkhan Karaman.
What?
What are you? I'm
Basketball
assuming this is
reference page for the Bucks.
Oh, this is. Oh, I thought there was like a new two-way.
Oh, no. Sorry. This is someone they have draft rights to. He's 30. Ilkhan Karaman, the New Jersey Nets second round pick in 2012.
He was taken. Wow.
He's taken by a team that doesn't exist anymore.
His last reported
team. What trade did he come through?
No idea.
Oh. Cavaliers acquired. Wait, no, he's not with the Bucks anymore.
This says he was traded from the Cavs to the Bucks.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I read the wrong. There we go.
Wait, the Bucks just sent the Cavs a second round pick?
Right now?
No. Then. It says for this trade, traded by the Cleveland Cavaliers to the Milwaukee Bucks for a 2025 second round draft pick. Was that? Oh, you know what?
I was that the precursor Drew? For the Tucker deal? For the Drew Tucker deal?
No. I think it was the Tucker deal. It's when they got them to unprotect
it. No. This says it happened in November 18th.
Yeah, it happened when they traded JaVale McGee to the Lakers.
Yeah, that's when it happened. The Bucks are.
So I don't know.
Was that? No, but I think it was. Wasn't that a precursor to the Drew deal? I think it was. I think that was to get Cleveland to let the pick be unprotected so they could trade more picks.
Yeah.
Because there were protections that were never going to happen on the Bucks pick the Cavs held, and they had to make a deal to take off the protections. So the Cavs had to send this guy over to not actually
this
send
was
anything.
5 days before the Drew holiday.
Deal. Yeah. So the Bucks gave up a second round pick to take off the protection on their own pick, guaranteeing they'd lose it. So they could free up a pick to trade. And they got this guy
question.
Back. Ilkhan.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Welcome to draft night when the Bucks pick 54 and 60. What else would we be doing? This is our brand
like,
now.
Should we talk like general NBA?
Yeah.
Like what happened?
There was one big deal. I mean, the draft went as a lot of people expected. Cade first, Jalen Green second, the top three at least when it's
top three, and then
Mobley third. I think Mobley's really good. I don't want to deep dive on the draft because I just don't know nearly enough about it.
I'm just going to say we get to play Cade a lot more often, so that's going to be fun. I'm happy for Pistons fans. I really
and Cavs. I think the Cavs
and Cavs fans
them picking three and ending up with Mobley, a guy who like Charks was trying to convince Simmons to take him one in that mock draft. Like a lot of people are really high on Mobley too. So happy for our Midwest division fellas. Maybe get it together finally so people stop making fun of the Bucks for padding their win total because they're so bad, but I digress. The big trade, the more league-altering trade.
Mason Plumlee to the Hornets.
Yep.
Ricky Rubio to Cleveland.
I did not like that. I actually like the Plumlee deal for both sides. But the big trade is the Lakers finally get their point guard. And hilariously enough, it's Russell Westbrook.
My guy, Team USA, Russell.
Rob Pelinka voted for
Vote for me,
though.
Please. I don't know if the poll is still going to be up.
It'll be up for like in a couple hours when this goes live. But the Lakers get Russ for Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, KCP, the number 22 pick in the draft. The Wizards also send 2 second-round picks.
What just – I don't understand this trade for either team.
I understand it for the Wizards.
Yeah, I understand it for the Wizards.
I guess – okay. I understand it more for the Wizards than I do for the Lakers.
I would rather have, without including the picks, Kuzma, Harrell, and KCP than Russ for either team. I think there's some teams that could use Russ. I don't think either of these teams are teams that can really use Russ.
I think KCP is a really good fit.
He's quietly good. He's quietly good anywhere. He's just a good wing player.
I think the jury's out on Trez.
I don't think Trez is that good, but he's like a $10 million expiring.
He's situational.
Contract.
That's the thing. He's situational.
I saw somebody tweet like he's going to make – he just makes sense as a Wizard, and I was like, yeah, he does.
It's like Nene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gortat?
More ground bound than
there. Yeah, that's they go for that over there. but yeah, I mean, I think like the Lakers clearly just going all in on star power. The funny thing about this trade is like
everything.
Yes. It feels like it makes sense for the Lakers in the regular season when they don't want to have old man and now finally getting injured sometimes LeBron, which just didn't happen for like decades. Like they don't want him carrying the offensive load all year. That's what this feels like. But it just feels short-sighted because, like, what is Russ going to do if LeBron's handling the ball in the playoffs? And how pissed is LeBron going to be? How pissed is LeBron going to be when Russ grabs a rebound from in front of Anthony Davis, who's still playing power forward for some reason, and takes the ball up court and hoists a 16-foot jump shot?
It's really strange to me. And I'm saying this as someone that was confused by the Lakers offseason last year when they brought in like Harrell, Gasol, because that was all on like the first day, first night, I should say. Like, it was like Harrell, Gasol, obviously our old friend Wes Matthews. And I was like, there's not a lot
ring
of shooting.
Chasing go, Wes.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Never. I just find it odd that they have made a trade that both it helps mitigate the ball handling load on LeBron and all that stuff, but also makes his usage with Anthony Davis, both of their usage and also together and all three now, incredibly worse.
Yeah.
Because that's what's so odd to me. And granted, like, this is the Lakers. They are born on third base. They can sign anyone who they please. Like, they can get any shooter. They can make – Talen Horton Tucker, this, you know, could this guy get $100 million contract? And I was like, what are you talking? Like, okay, all this stuff. The Caruso must go on, all that stuff. It's just weird to me.
I hear they're actually worried about losing him, by the way. I think they're worried about someone will give him. I don't know where. I think they're like,
Texas. That's
where Austin. No, they're worried about losing him contractually. Also, I guess legally, but I'm not even ready to watch Caruso play anywhere else. But.
I just don't. And granted, these players are very talented players. Like it's, I think talent ultimately wins out. I mean, this is what we kind of saw with the Bucks this year. We always thought about fit, and then when it comes to when they consolidated their depth and made it more towards what we saw this run, you know, the results speak for themselves. But it's just that's what I don't understand, is that they're trying to help LeBron and AD to a lesser extent, but they're also putting everyone in a weirder position in terms of trying to figure that out when they're all three on the floor together. It's an odd.
See, the thing is, you guys are saying that it helps ease LeBron's role. right? And
in the
theoretically,
regular season, I said.
Yeah, no. That, yeah. Theoretically, that's fine. But also, just re-sign Dennis Schroeder.
I mean, he might be too expensive. But if I was them, like, I would rather have KCP and Kuzma, who people hate. But I think it's
Kuzma
like,
was really good.
I think he's had some good time there. It's like he has to play out of position. Here's the thing with the Lakers. This is you want to hear the real issue with the Lakers. And again, you're right. They're born on third base. Like, their issues a lot of teams would kill for. Neither of their best two guys wants to play their actual position most of the time. Yeah. And they're killing themselves, contorting the roster to make those guys happy with players who don't fit with those guys when they need to be at their best. Like,
they will
Gasol,
start one shooter.
Gasol,
one.
Harrell, Drummond eventually. And Drummond was basically free. But it's like AD has
– Drummond.
Yeah. With the NFT that's like $16. But like AD needs to play center. LeBron needs to functionally be the point guard. He can defend wherever, but offensively, like, he's the point guard at his best. Like, that's – he can do other stuff. He's LeBron. But you're at your best with LeBron, wing, whether it's a small guard. It doesn't matter. You can make a lot work. But LeBron, three wings, and Anthony Davis. And they're just getting farther and farther away from being able to do that. Like, their only wing left is THT now, I think.
And he's a restricted free agent.
He's a restricted free agent.
The one on the roster, Alphonso McKinney.
Who I forgot was on the team.
It's a non-guaranteed deal. He probably won't be for very long. Yeah. Like, they literally, here's their roster. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Mark Gasol on a minimum, Alphonso McKinney, and now Russell Westbrook, who's now the highest paid Laker next season. $44 million.
Wait, is that? Oh my God, he is.
$44 yeah. million. Dollars. Russ, LeBron, and AD are $120 million.
So, this team wants to win a title starting one shooter.
Well, who's the shooter?
I don't know.
They need to get one first.
They need to get a shooter.
You know who their shooter or who they were hoping their shooter to be?
Forbes.
Buddy Hield?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that too.
Momentarily.
Sandy.
They needed Sandy. I think Forbes would – I called, I think, New Orleans for Forbes, but I think Forbes probably – it wouldn't shock me if Forbes followed the Wes Matthews path and went there. We saw how that works out. I don't get it for them.
This team's not – they're pulling a 15, 16 bucks.
Well, the other thing is
the
like –
The coach that just left to go to Dallas. That's the irony.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is like – They're going to be so top heavy. They're going to be maybe the most top heavy team in the league. People say Brooklyn, but that Brooklyn roster, like, they still had a lot of those young guys left over, and they've done a really good job in finding vets.
Also, I mean, I know that there's concerns about like signing Jeff Green, Blake Griffin. They got to re-sign Bruce Brown, who they tendered their qualified offer and all that stuff. There's at least, I mean, we saw it. They still have Joe Harris. Like,
they still have Claxton.
The Claxton too, like their fourth. I know DeAndre Jordan's kind of over the hill at this point, but that's still a useful big that I don't know if the Lakers have at this point.
Not a backup.
So that's like it's very. It's just like, I mean, their roster. They have to literally rebuild their roster. It's just this huge, like, open.
They just
as big as the Grand Canyon.
The Nets just flipped Shamit for Javon Carter, who I think is like an intriguing backup guard and a pick. Yeah. Like this Lakers, I mean, they're going to get some good free agents because they're the Lakers, but I mean, they're not getting Lowry. Like you're out of, you know.
Oh, yeah. They're out of that.
They have the
Westbrook
taxpayer,
is their big star
taxpayer MLE.
Which they're giving to Drummond.
Wait, where did that come from?
No, they're going to re-sign Drummond. That's not official. But that's the writing's on the wall, yeah. Because they brought him in there.
But don't
they
hate
started,
him?
No, they started him because...
I thought he was farewelling.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that one.
That's no, the F in NFT.
I think that his next NFT is going to be like, sign me.
No, Rob Pelinka has publicly said that we brought him in for the future, and that's like...
When did he say it?
Like during the playoffs.
Okay, yeah, when he was still on the team. I don't know if he's.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
He might be putting up 20 games in Guangdong this time next year. Like, I think Andre Drummond got exposed a little bit in that team, but yeah, no, I mean, it's listen, as a Bucks person, I'm pretty glad. What I was gonna say before I got to like how thin they are. Real injury concerns for all three of those guys. And I think Russ is probably the most concerning because he'll play through stuff. And when he does, he's just like terrible. Like, I forget, I think it was a quad last season. And until he got right, he was just like bad. Like, that's why the Wizards start was so rough. And credit to him for trying to play through stuff. But, and then LeBron and AD, of course.
AD is a walking, like, one game he'll be.
We still hurt. Have no idea what happened to AD with his Achilles.
Yeah, that's true.
The thing with like the AD thing, in addition to that, they need him to shoot like it's the bubble again on this team now. I mean, like whether he's at the four or the five, and we haven't seen that from him really outside of the bubble. It's that they're a talented team. They're gonna have some great highlights. We'll see what who else they can add, but I think it's gonna be a rough. A regular season even for them next year because the West is getting better always and I don't like this move for the
Phoenix
Lakers
is still going to be there. Utah's frauds, so whatever.
I hear changeups are coming in Utah.
Are they?
Yeah, I've seen rumblings that they already changed their executive. I've heard I think Ingles is being dangled. That's funny to say.
He's a free agent, isn't he?
No, I think he's got a year left.
Yeah.
Oh.
They
gotta re-sign Conley.
Things might go down there. They do have to re-sign Conley. You know, maybe the Lakers just get lucky. I mean, the Clippers might end up nearly punting. I mean, they still have George, but
that's the thing, though. That's a good point. Is that like Kawhi is not gonna play next year, most likely. Jamal Murray's. I mean, if he does come back, it's like towards the end. But I don't think, unless the Nuggets make it, you know, this crazy run to the finals or something like that, I don't see something like that happening. So that's two, you know, title contenders down. Then it's what Utah. Obviously, Phoenix's you know resurgence hinges on Chris Paul's return, which seems likely, but you never know.
They felt good about that for a while, it seems.
Yeah, then it's like, who else are we?
Warriors
looking at?
With Clay back,
Jonathan Kuminga.
They might have had the worst draft. They might have had the worst draft, in my opinion.
They got Moses.
I just cannot believe that they used the picks. I really didn't think they were going to use the picks.
That's the thing with them is that they are prevalent everywhere. The Lakers are very good at churning up the noise, which you know we saw all the Buddy Hield rumors.
Yeah,
the Warriors take it to another level, and it's incredibly disappointing every time. Like when you think back to when they were at their peak, the Kevin Durant stuff, like that, you know, pie in the sky scenario, everybody thought that would never happen. All that stuff obviously happened, and that was obviously more on KD's decision than what I know the Warriors took advantage of the circumstances that happened with the cap exploding, all that stuff. But it was
just
also
a one-time
thing. Yeah, exactly. It was an isolated incident. But then, like, a couple years later when they signed Boogie and everybody's like, oh, my God, this is crazy.
Have
like,
they made a good like, move since then?
No, that was...
What was the best thing they've done? Jordan Poole?
Also, I mean, their hands have been tied because Klay went down and KD got hurt, then left.
They've swung all these big... They got D'Angelo Russell, who's going to be great, and they flipped him for Wiggins. Oh, great move. And they got the amazing pick.
You remember they did that to get Giannis, remember?
That's true.
Best trade pack. But that's what I'm saying is that, like, they're so prevalent.
Siakam?
All these...
Question mark?
Exactly. That's another one. They put all these names to get in associated with Golden State, and then you kind of look at what they have, and it's like, no one wants freaking Andrew Wiggins.
I think they might have the worst, outside of Miami, the worst fan base in terms of like Wiggins and seven for Siakam. Like, why? My least favorite thing in all the draft pods and all the draft discourse leading up to this was everyone talking about seven. Like, it's this amazing answer.
And 14.
Yeah, but even like just seven. Like, Zach Lowe, I don't think the Warriors would include seven for Siakam. Are you kidding me? The chance of getting a player as good as Siakam at seven is minuscule. Yeah. Wiggins is fine. I heard Wiggins was nearly all defense.
Go on a washing machine and just spin all day.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like seven is this amazing.
I think someone, I saw a tweet about it. It's like, when it comes to this time of year, it's not, I think Kevin Pelton said about it, it's not about the players, it's about the contracts. But you have to, you do have to take in account, there's a reason why we're seeing, it's not like the Ricky Rubio trade, for instance. We're seeing Ricky Rubio and Torian Prince. Guys are NBA players, but not necessarily, you know, they're very dependent on where they play. They can easily be, you know, nice contributors depending on where they fall and all that stuff. But when you're talking about like the trade rumors that are going to have, like, is Ben Simmons going to get dealt on trade night or Brad Beal, all this stuff that was like happening the week leading up to the draft. And it's just like, that's where it just gets kind of, for me at least, it just gets kind of, I don't know, it gets boring to me because all these rumors get drummed up and nothing happens from it. It to that degree of these crazy, you know, trades. Granted, Russell Westbrook got traded tonight, so that kind of.
But that wasn't even a thing. That wasn't even a rumor.
Exactly. Exactly. So when
that was a rumor. That's been a rumor. That's been
sort of. It was a not like these other ones. That's like the level of smoke was not.
But there's it's been simmering.
It definitely it was simmering, but it when it's like so public and like when the trade like offer is like literally leaked out from a reporter recovering the team or something like that. That's where it's like. It's not going to happen.
Yeah,
like,
the exactly. Stuff. Those are the deals that don't happen.
Wait, let me ask you guys a question. If you were Bob Myers, would you have taken the Ben Simmons for Wiseman 7, 14, Williams,
yes.
And
yes.
A future pick?
100%. Are you trying to win a title with Steph Curry or what? That's my question.
Yeah.
Is Ben Simmons doing that?
Is Jonathan Kuminga doing that in 2022? One of the rawest players who couldn't score it in an Ignite team? No disrespect, but if you can't score on the Ignite team, I don't think you're scoring in the NBA.
I mean, what's different than that than Ben Simmons?
At least Ben Simmons can pass and defend at a high level. I think there's a ton of overlap with Draymond. I don't know how you figure that out. I don't think it's great. I would have rather gotten Siakam for that same package.
That still might happen.
I think Siakam Simmons is going to happen at some point. Still,
no, I think Siakam to the Warriors still might happen.
I think they're gonna turn their noses up because they're pretentious. Oh, you want best we can do? How about Smiley and Wiggins? And you throw in a couple picks.
Smiley's still there.
Oh, Smiley's maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
He's no Sandy.
God, the parallels there. You know, the funny thing to me about the Wizards today is everyone is like, oh, how? Why is Beal still wanting to stay after they traded Russ? Maybe he saw up close Russ shoot 33-25 in a playoff series and sabotage very winnable games against the 76ers. Like, he was terrible in that playoff series after getting mostly healthy. Like, I don't know why everyone, oh, I can't believe he wants to stay there after Russ is gone. Like, I don't know if he would have wanted to stay there if Russ was still there.
I think
plus he wants to be like Giannis.
That's the thing about Westbrook to me is that I respect what he does, and it's not that it's unimpeachable, but it's at this point because he is so prolific and he is a floor raiser, but his flaws are just so obvious and so crippling to the fact that like he's so relentless and trying to, you know, be everything that he could be, but despite his flaws, like how we were talking about Giannis midway through the playoff run, and just like
there's a lot of parallels in mindset between those two.
Yes, I mean the fact that the meme, you know, Marin Fader's, it's based out of Westbrook and all that stuff. I respect what he does and stuff like that, but the fact that it is like everything he does so well is like either mitigated or contradicted by the fact that his flaws are just so. It's just so weighty and just like, are just so inescapable that like, I understand why the Wizards did what they did. And granted, I mean, Beal could be a free agent next summer and, you know, go down the path and the Wizards could still lose him. I wouldn't fault the Wizards for doing this move regardless if that happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where it's like you still do it if it makes your team better and you think it fits what Brad wants to do.
Also, you get off of an absolutely mammoth contract. If Beal does leave, you suddenly have a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
And this opens up more flexibility to build around Beal.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think for sure. That's the main goal. But again, worst case scenario, if it's like Russ and a bunch of expiring contracts, that's a pretty dark place. I think the thing with Russ too is there's like always the two sides are too extreme. Like in his prime, an incredible player who probably was good enough to be like a number two or co-number one on a great team, but not in his prime anymore. I think turning 34, I believe.
He's certainly up there.
Yeah, and it's just like it's not, you know, it's just tough. It's tough to be that kind of a player at that age, at that size. I mean, think about the troubles Giannis had in the playoffs. Russ is 6'4". Like, it's just hard. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't pain me to see the Lakers. You know, honestly, coming out of draft night, maybe the best part for the Bucks is like no super team was formed or took a big step forward. And I didn't think a draft pick would do that, but obviously a lot of trades always happen and hasn't happened yet. And I don't think we're going to get there. I mean, Simmons for Siakam, if that happened, I wouldn't be that concerned. I think the Sixers get better, but not a ton better. They're better, but I don't think Siakam is a perfect fit with Embiid. And Siakam to Warriors, I guess. The West feels a little open, actually, so that could be interesting. Actually, that might be the scariest one if they could do that, but we'll see.
I think I have to disagree. I think there was one super team formed.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah, you Giannis. Yeah, you Chris. And you got Sandman.
Sandman coming in before Drew is just sacrilegious. I thought you were going to go you got your Giannis, you got your Thanasis, you got your
Jorgis.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
What a night. GATAGK.
There we go.
I can't believe that was their draft, man.
I think our pod was as silly as the Bucks draft.
Oh, that's honestly fair. Potentially. This thing was all over the place. I think we spent more time talking about the Lakers than we did the Bucks draft.
I don't know. I think we went in kind of roasting them for a little while.
I mean, there. To be fair, we were talking about players that we have seen watch or play true. Basketball.
That's true.
I feel more comfortable talking about
that. We need to find tape on Jorgis. So.
I thought this whole time, I was like, maybe we'll get a Bucks camp guy we can pretend to be excited about at the tail end of the pod. There's been like 40 that have come through, including Sam Hauser.
Where'd he go?
Sam Hauser is,
dang it.
Shocker. Yeah. Shocker. Can't believe it.
Nope.
Surprised. Whoa,
here's another shocker quick. Ooh. The Orlando Magic got a 7-footer.
Oh boy. John Hammond.
Seen that one coming.
He's ready. Marquette guard DJ Carton.
I do
the Hornets.
Oh yeah, that's right. There was Michael Scott of Hoopsite said that former Michigan guard Mike Smith has agreed to play in summer league with the Bucks.
Oh, who did?
Mike Smith. He's a 5-year senior.
Oh yeah.
Played at Columbia. I think he got hurt because I see a red shirt. So that might be that. Then played at Michigan last year. Shot 41% from three last year. Low volume, but
You know what? Future herd player, most likely. A lot of training camp invites are going to be future herd players, especially the early ones. If you Google him, a hockey player comes up first. Fun fact.
I literally put in Mike Smith basketball just because Mike Smith is just going to give me someone random.
It's Edmonton Oilers Mike Smith, not the right one.
That's in Oklahoma, right?
Edmonton?
No, that's not. That's
Canada.
Wow. I love your like backpedal after we were like Edmonton.
What's the place in Oklahoma?
I don't know, but with a place is like Edmonton in Oklahoma.
Like Norman?
No, just Edmond is a place in Oklahoma.
Oh. Well, yeah. But there's no professional hockey team there.
I don't know. Do you think I watch hockey?
I think you should know a little bit more. NHL team, probably Edmond, Oklahoma.
Listen, okay? My parents lived in Oklahoma for a while. I know these cities, okay?
How many people live in Edmond, Oklahoma?
94,000.
Oh, okay, not yet. Wow. Okay, it's pretty big. Yeah. All right. I'll let it go. I was waiting for like 1,600.
Nah. They have 3-star hotels averaging 95 a night.
Oh, it's a suburb. It's an OKC suburb.
Yeah, come on. Put some respect on Edmund's name.
All right. It's can't casually, wait to watch some.
You casually dropped the 3-star hotels averaging $95 a night.
Rohan's planning a trip to check out some hockey.
I might be a little disappointed.
Oh, we might have to run the outro, man.
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah.
That is a way to go out on.
Well, if you guys are still listening, thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep Podcast Network, Eurostep Wooden and Six Crossover. I'm crying right now. It's like, it's 1:30 in the morning. Like, we watched a 5-hour draft. This is just us just absolutely not knowing what's going on. The Bucks also have no idea what's going on, as we covered in this episode. But yeah, make sure you leave a 5-star review on Apple. Make sure you subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Ty, do we have a 5-star review to read out?
We do. It sounds familiar to me, but this says it's pretty new. So from MA1200 Kenwood, 5 stars, of course, not getting read if it's not 5 stars. Highly recommended is the subject line, A+ subject line. I started listening to this show during playoffs bubble. Punctuation, not 5 stars. Those were not necessary dashes, but we'll let it go.
Can I stop roasting the listeners?
I can't turn it off. I worked in publications for years. Fun conversations and discussions on the Bucks. 3 commas. Ty and Rohan are very chill and passionate about everything Bucks. I enjoy the highs and the therapy sessions after the wins and losses. Keep up the good work. It's a great review.
The only thing missing is win and six. But if they've been listening since the bubble, they know.
Yeah. They, you know.
Shout out to 1200 Kenwood. Hopefully you're not just giving your address. But no, thank you for leaving that 5-star review. If you do want to get your review read out, you have to leave a review. So, you know, 5 stars only. That's how we read them out. But yeah, make sure you subscribe to your podcast platform of choice. Check out all of the content across the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Go Bucks, NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. And we will talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.